The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to Bookish Banter, where we're going to be diving into the literary world, dissecting wild theories, and spilling all the bookish tea. I'm your host, DJ Pisces. Welcome back to episode 2. Today we're talking about sequels. Those beloved or dreaded continuations of a story we thought had already come to an end. Whether it's movies, books, or even TV shows, sequels have become almost a cultural staple. But are they always a good idea? Should every book get a sequel, or should some stories be left to stand on their own? Today we're diving into the topic. Should books have sequels? Let's break it down. Let's start with the positives. Sequels can be an incredible opportunity to expand on a world or characters we've already grown attached to. Think of The Lord of the Rings. It's a perfect example of a series that needed multiple books to give a truly epic story arc. Some stories are so vast and detailed that a single book just isn't enough to do it justice. For example, in fantasy and sci-fi, where worlds are complex and detailed, sequels can allow authors to explore multiple layers of society, politics, or magic systems. A good sequel, though, can introduce new stakes, new characters, or even delve deeper into the themes of the first book. But what really makes sequels great is the emotional connection they create. Readers often fall in love with characters, and they're eager to see what happens next. Think about how many people were dying to know what happened after The Hunger Games, or even Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Sequels build on that emotional investment. They also create anticipation and excitement in the fan base. On the flip side, not every book needs a sequel. In fact, some of the best stories are those that leave us wanting more because they know when to stop. There's often been so many times when an author will end a book and they mess it all up because they don't know when to stop. There's a beauty in a story that completes it on its own. A perfectly crafted ending can be satisfying enough without leaving room for more chapters. One of the dangers of sequels is that they can feel forced. If the story is stretched too thin, or if the author tries to capitalize on the success of the first book, it can feel like a cash grab rather than a meaningful continuation. Let's take a moment to consider some well-known examples where sequels maybe shouldn't have been made. The Shining by Stephen King is a fantastic novel, but when King wrote Dr. Sleep, many fans felt that the sequel didn't quite capture the original's eerie power, if you know what I mean. Or think about the Matrix sequels, which in many ways were seen as disappointing compared to the original groundbreaking film. There's something to be said for leaving a story with a certain level of ambiguity, letting the readers fill in the gaps with their imaginations. Sometimes that's what keeps the magic alive. So, where is the sweet spot? Is there a middle ground? Absolutely. A good sequel can elevate the original work if it expands on the themes or characters in a meaningful way. It shouldn't just repeat the same formula. It should offer something new. For example, The Empire Strikes Back didn't just continue the story of Star Wars, it deepened the characters and raised the stakes in unexpected ways. It added layers of complexity that made the original film's impact even more profound. Similarly, there are sequels like The Girl Who Played with Fire or Catching Fire that managed to keep the momentum going by adding complexity without losing the essence of what made the first book so compelling. Now, the big question, the one we've all been waiting for, when should a book have a sequel? In my opinion, it comes down to whether the story feels unfinished or whether there's more ground to cover. If the book opens up a larger universe, or if there's a significant narrative thread left unresolved, then a sequel could be the perfect way to satisfy the reader's curiosity. If the character arcs are left dangling, or there are larger questions left unanswered, that's when a sequel feels warranted. But, and this is key, sequels should always feel like they need to happen, not just that they can happen. The best sequels don't just revisit the old. They challenge, they evolve, and they deepen the conversation started in the first book. So, should books have sequels? Well, to me, I think it depends. Sequels can be a powerful way to extend a story, but they can also dilute something so beautiful if done for the wrong reasons. I believe that the key is whether the story or characters truly deserve the continuation. And also, ultimately, it is up to the authors in the end whether to decide the story is over or if there's more to tell. The sad thing is, we don't know if the author's going to do it for the right or the wrong reasons. But now, let's move away from our conversation about sequels and let's dive into King of Battle and Blood by Scarlett St. Clair. This book It's a dark fantasy romance that blends vampires, political intrigue, and a love story full of tension and unexpected twists. If you're a fan of enemies to lovers dynamics, magical realms, and complex characters, this book will draw you in from the first page. And here's the thing. This book is a perfect example of why some stories simply need a sequel. So let's talk about why King of Battle and Blood is so compelling and how it sets up the stage for the Queen of Myth and Monsters. Spoilers ahead, so buckle up. Going into the King of Battle and Blood, we're introduced to Isolde, a fierce young woman hellbent on avenging her kingdom, which was taken over by the hands of the vampire king Adrian. However, her quest for revenge takes a dramatic turn when she is forced to marry Adrian, plunging her heart of the vampire kingdom she so despises, which she definitely did not like. Anyway, the setup here is rich with tension, drama, and the classic trope of enemies to lovers, but it's so much more layered than just a simple revenge story. There's magic, power struggles, and a world of vampires and mythical creatures that we only scratch the surface of in this first book. The dynamics between Isolde and Adrian are absolutely gripping, with a slow burn romance that's so hard to resist, and it just brought me in. It literally sucked me in. I'm just going to say now, 5 out of 5 stars. Moving on, one of the key elements in this book is the balance St. Clair strikes between romance and also world building. The book presents a fascinating vampire world, but it never quite reveals all its secrets, leaving you wanting more. The romance is undeniably intense, but there's this larger looming question about the politics of the vampire world and the history of the realm, and also the mystery surrounding Adrian's past. That sense of mystery and the lingering questions make it clear that there's much more to come. What makes this book so engaging is its strong character dynamics. Isolde is a fierce, independent protagonist who's motivated by grief and a deep sense of justice. She's not just a damsel in distress, which she definitely makes clear, but she's a resourceful, intelligent, and she's willing to fight for what she wants and what she believes in. Her emotional journey is just as compelling as her physical one, as she begins to grapple with the idea of revenge versus forgiveness. And then there's Adrian, the tortured vampire king. At first, he seems like the typical brooding anti-hero, but as the story unfolds, you realize that there's so much more to him. Adrian has a tragic past, complex motivations, and a vulnerability that just pulls you in. His relationship with Isolde is filled with push and pull, resentment, but also a strong, undeniable connection that neither of them can ignore. And honestly, it just got really frustrating in the book when she just wouldn't admit it, because their chemistry is so electric, and you can't help but root for their romance, even as you wonder whether they'll ever truly trust one another. The way St. Clair develops their relationship is one of the strongest aspects of the book. What starts as a relationship rooted in hatred and political necessity gradually evolves into something far more complicated. The push and pull between them keeps you turning pages, wondering if they'll finally give in to their feelings or if they'll destroy each other in the process. As we discuss and dive deeper into the world building, it's important to know how well St. Clair creates a vivid and very immersive setting for this story. The vampire kingdom is intricate, filled with its own politics, hierarchies, and intrigue. But there's still so much that's left unexplained by the end of the first book. We get glimpses of the vampire society, the powers that govern it, and the conflicts between different factions. However, much of this world is kept hidden, tempting us with the promise of more to explore in future books. The themes of power, control, vengeance, and trust are explored throughout the story. Isolde's internal battle between her desire for revenge and possibility of redemption for Adrian adds such a layer of complexity to her own character. And Adrian, with his own internal struggles, like his conflict between his duty as a king and his feelings for Isolde, they add such a layer of vulnerability to his character, who could easily have been a typical dark hero figure. It's a delicate dance, and the balance between romance and the larger political stakes makes the plot feel so fresh and engaging. Here's why this book really stands out to me as a textbook example of a book that needed a sequel. The first book sets up so many questions, unresolved plot threads, and characters that you can't help but wonder, like, what happens next? The tension between Isolde and Adrian is far from resolved, and the larger political conflict within the vampire realm is only just beginning. And that's where The Queen of Myth and Monsters comes in. The sequel picks up right where The King of Battle and Blood leaves off, and answers some of the burning questions that were left hanging. I can say when I finished King of Battle and Blood, I needed to find a sequel because I knew it just wasn't done. Without giving too much away, the sequel expands on the world St. Clair created in the first book. She added new layers to the mythology, and it delves deeper into Isolde's role in this world, this whole new like vampire world as queen. And the emotional stakes are higher, the plot is more tense, and the world building continues to unfold in such exciting ways. What makes The Queen of Myth and Monsters such a strong follow-up is that it builds on the foundation set in King of Battle and Blood, taking the story to new emotional and narrative heights. The themes of power, trust, loyalty, all that continue to be central, but the stakes are raised even further than they were before in the first book. What's really interesting about these two books is how they demonstrate the importance of continuity in a series. King of Battle and Blood really introduces the characters, it sets the stage, and it gives us the foundation. But a story like this, with its complex world and its intricate characters, requires more than just one book to truly come to life. A sequel allows the author to dive deeper into the emotional growth of the characters and expand on the world they've built. In fact, it's a prime example of how a sequel isn't just something added for the sake of more content, it's necessary for the full realization of the story. The Queen of Myth and Monsters picks up the threads left by the first book and unravels them in a way that not only satisfies, but also leaves you wanting more. It's a testament to how a well-crafted story can unfold over multiple books, with each one revealing new layers and complexities, which is probably why I'm going to be getting a novella soon, but we'll see how that turns out. Anyway, if you're looking for a book that combines a gripping romance with political intrigue, dark fantasy, and characters that are impossible to forget, King of Battle and Blood by Scarlett St. Clair is definitely worth the read. Like, I'm serious, I fully, wholeheartedly recommend this book. But make sure you're ready for the sequel, The Queen of Myth and Monsters, because once you're hooked, you're not going to want to miss out on what happens next. These books are perfect examples of how a story can grow and evolve, leaving you eagerly waiting for the next chapter. Thank you for listening to episode 2. Tune in next time for episode 3 as we turn the page to our next chapter of Bookish Banter.